Chapter 10. Two Mats in Danger.
The blast threw Matt and Estelle through the air. Matt hit the ground and closed his eyes. He didn't dare open them as the ground moved under him like an earthquake. Finally, there was silence, and then a weak voice said,
"Matt, help me, please."
Matt opened his eyes. It was dark. He moved towards the voice and touched Estelle's hand.
"Matt, are you all right?"
murmured the girl.
"Yes, I think so,"
said Matt, worried.
"You?"
"My legs are trapped. There was a cave-in."
Estelle's voice was weaker now.
"Matt, you must go before there's another explosion. There's a secret passage to the surface."
"I won't leave you, Estelle,"
said Matt, desperately trying to free her.
"It's useless, Matt. Please, save yourself,"
she whispered.
"I'll go, but I'm going for help,"
said Matt with determination.
"I'll be back to save you, Estelle."
Blind in the darkness, he ran along the tunnel. Then suddenly, it seemed there was no air.
"Help me,"
Matt gasped.
"I'm suffocating. I can't breathe. Estelle,"
whispered Matt on the living room floor.
"Estelle? Oh, of course,"
cried Linda. Suddenly, everything was clear. Matt's body was here in front of her, but his mind, his spirit, was in Victorian Newbridge, in the mine, in the accident.
"If I don't save him, both Matts will die,"
she thought desperately, opening the PC.
"Quickly, please,"
she implored the computer, typing the date and time of the accident and the approximate coordinates for Newbridge Coal Mine. The hourglass icon appeared, and Linda started her most important time trip of all. It was night, and Linda found herself in a field, confronted by a very angry bull.
"Sorry, bull. I know that I'm in your field,"
she said, trying to pacify the animal, but the bull had other ideas, and Linda decided to run, jumping over a fence just in time. Now she was in another field with nicer companions. A group of ponies, it seemed.
"Poor animals,"
she said, realizing that they couldn't see her.
"You must be pit ponies, blind after years working in the mine." "The mine? If the ponies are here, I must be near the mine."
Her hopes were confirmed by the enormous silhouette of the pit heap against the night sky. Then she heard voices from the next field. Watching from behind the fence, she saw two men pushing a big rock.
"Bert, why are we doing this?" said one of the men in a sleepy voice.
"Everslime says we have to cover that shaft from the new seam,"
replied the other man.
"The secret passage,"
thought Linda.
"They're blocking it. I must stop them. But how? I've only got the computer."
Then she remembered that terrible music in the youth hostel from Mr. Wells' email. She switched on the computer and found the icon that she wanted. My Music. She clicked on it and scanned the list of files.
"This is good. Nightmare Music,"
she read, and clicked on the audio file, putting the PC's volume to maximum. The effect was instantaneous.
"Bert, what's that terrible noise?"
cried the first man, terrified.
"I don't know, Harry," replied Bert, "but I'm not staying here to find out."
As the men ran off, Linda ran to the hole. She held the men's lamp to look inside. Suddenly, Matt appeared. He saw Linda and shouted with shock,
"Ah!
Matt, you're safe,"
cried Linda happily.
"I'm so happy to see you. Come on, let's go home."
Matt, dirty and tired, looked at Linda sadly.
"I can't, Linda. People are trapped down there."
"Matt, I know, but that's history. There was an accident here, and they all died,"
said Linda.
"We can't change the past."
"But I can't let them die,"
said Matt, taking the safety lamp from Linda.
"Clem, Billy,
and Estelle,"
said Linda, as her friend started to climb down the shaft again. Matt didn't answer. Then he said,
"Go for help."
He smiled.
"It's good to see you, Linda."